May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Friends, we'll start with a little show and tell, and you brought part of the show and tell with you. I invite you to look at the back of your hands. All right? What I see are veins and arteries that are taking blood from my heart and through the different tissues around my body and returning that blood back. And the color of that blood is red. Yeah, it's red. We talked about it at the first service. It's I know it looks blue sometimes, but when it comes out, it gets oxygenated again. It becomes red. And then the red is caused by what element? Do you remember? Iron, hemoglobin. I would accept both answers. I should have asked my science teacher to help me out, Vanessa. But it's hemoglobin, right? And hemoglobin is takes on the it's elemental of iron that's part of it. And where does the iron come from? The stars. If a mineral is heavier than iron, it's been made in a supernova star. In other words, we do not have an atom in our bodies that isn't the product of some dead star. Now, this is not a lesson in evolution, but rather an affirmation of the creation story that is in Genesis. I am saying that our earth and we are made of the same stuff as the stars. We're told in the Bible that the earth was a formless void and the Spirit of God, like a wind, swept across it, across that chaos and brought order. That's the first chapter of Genesis. In the second creation story, which is found in the second chapter of Genesis, we are told that we are made from the dust of the earth. That God blew life into the dust of the earth, forming humanity. It must have been stardust, the swirling stuff of exploding gas and dust that was flung out into the interstellar space as a dying star's core collapses. The pastor of Royal Palms Baptist Church in Phoenix, Arizona, Landrum P. Level III, ends all of his letters with a greeting that fits the desert Southwest. He says, "Keep the sun in your eyes." Of course, he uses S-O-N, but the same idea. The sun, we're made from the stars. What today's Epiphany text is saying to us is something similar. Keep the stars in your eyes. The wise men knew to follow a star in order to find the newborn child who would become a great king. The baby Jesus opened his eyes and he must have beheld a sky full of brilliant starlight, shining down on his humble birthplace. The Son of God was born literally with the stars in his eyes. No wonder the author of Revelation called Jesus the morning star. And we seek to follow that morning star. As we seek to follow that morning star, I want us to realize that we too are stars. As we seek to follow Jesus, that morning star, we must realize that as stars ourselves, we are part of the great constellation called the church. We are called to shine out for the sake of Jesus Christ. And while we seek to follow Jesus and our eyes are on that morning star, may we realize that the eyes of the world are watching the constellation called the church. We are to be a beacon of God's love, a testimony of Christ's life, and an example for all the world. And it's not always easy, is it? It's not always easy following Jesus. The journey of following Jesus, like the journey of those wise men 2,000 years ago, is not an easy journey. Sometimes you lose track of the star. The wise men did. They had to stop in Jerusalem and ask for directions and inquire of Herod where the child was to be born, king of the Jews. And Herod's chief priests and scribes knew of the prophecy of Bethlehem, so Herod sent the wise men to Bethlehem asking that they bring back news and, you know, give me the exact location of Bethlehem that he might go and worship that king also. When the wise men came out, they again picked up on the star and followed it to its final resting place. Today we lose track of the star. We lose track of God's guiding spirit upon us because we fill our lives with so much else, so much else. The image that I get is that of having a telescope and, you're trying to follow the star, but your hands are so full of other stuff that you can't even bring the telescope up to your eye. As some say, we need to keep our eye on the prize. We continually focus on what God wants for us. We need to receive God's blessing. Sometimes the blessing is there, and sometimes we just don't receive it. Sometimes we won't receive it. Have you ever met people who just find it hard to celebrate blessings in their lives? Kind of that Eeyore complex out of Winnie the Pooh? You know, that downtrodden look in their eyes? Think of it. Hey, mister, you just want a brand new car. Oh, probably won't fit in my garage. Well, you know, you want some cash, too. You could build a new garage. Oh, you know, contractors are so unreliable. He says, well, you know, he says, I know a very reliable contractor who just finished a big project. He could start work tomorrow. No, I have to go to the doctor tomorrow. Gee, mister, are you sick? Well, I've got a heart palpitation from the excitement of winning the new car. Do you know people who can't celebrate blessings in their lives? Sometimes we lose track of the star. And sometimes we are blocked from seeing the star. Certainly that is the case with Herod and the wise men. There is obvious and early tension between Herod the king and Jesus the king. While the image of the tyrant, jealous and intimidating, screaming death warrants and releasing the sword of the government against the innocent children is disturbing, the message of Matthew must be heard, and heard clearly. Good news has its enemies. Matthew must speak the truth. Jesus is the morning star, the light of the world, our hope and our salvation. And Matthew quotes the Old Testament prophets that point to the plan that God has had all along, a plan to save humanity, to save the people. But there are those who would deny Christ and deny him for others. And that plan is mentioned in our Ephesian text. Paul calls God's plan of redemption a plan in the fullness of time. It's the right time. It's a time that is pregnant with possibility. It's a plan of God's adoption of us as his children. And as God's children, then we have an inheritance with God, a life that is abundant and eternal. And when you think of humble beginnings and what can come of them, it is truly a miracle that Christianity has survived, these 20 centuries. But truth always seems to find a way to emerge. 12 days after Christmas is Epiphany, tomorrow, a day in the Christian year that we don't really give a whole lot of attention to in the Protestant church. The word Epiphany means appearance. It refers to the appearance of the star over Bethlehem. It refers to the appearance of Jesus, the child born to Mary and Joseph. It refers to the appearance of the shepherds to Joseph, and it refers to the angel who appears to Joseph, and it refers to the appearance of the three wise men or magi to Jesus. Epiphanies provide moments of truth that change us and set us on the right course. It's an idea that pops in your head or an inspired moment from reading Scripture. It's a time of enlightenment as you pray for God to speak to your heart. There are moments of insight that help us follow the morning star of Jesus the Christ. They are what makes us stars in the constellation of the church. It is always the task of the church to follow Christ while leading others to Christ as well, to let our lights shine forth in a world that loves sometimes to live in darkness. We deny that darkness sometimes. And sometimes we just simply live in it because there's nothing else that seems apparent to us. In 2025, I want for us to focus on the star and seek God's guidance. 2024 brought us certain blessings, and I see the potential for even greater blessings in 2025 because that is just the nature of God who created us, for even greater blessings in 25. And that's the nature of God who created us, loves us, and will guide us. And I know that 2024 brought us challenges, some of the continuing challenges of the economic challenges of the of prior years, previous years, no doubt. But can you count your blessings that came to you in 2024? There's so much good going on here at Central Church, and I believe that is connected with our faithfulness to the gospel of Jesus Christ. We put out our statement of inclusion early in this year, which I wanted completed before our denominational split over the LGBTQ plus inclusion. I knew the church was going to split. We all knew that, right? I mean, we knew it was going to happen someday. But I wanted our church to have its identity in place before the denomination said we had to do it. I want it to be who we are, friends. Because we are Central Church. We are Central Church. And so we put out that statement of inclusion. And I'm proud to be part of the United Methodist Church for many reasons. Our theological approach to understanding God and creation is really wonderful. But I also know that our identity as a local congregation has to be solid and of our own making. It has to be who we are and what we believe. Since we've put that statement out, it is increasingly becoming clear that our church is truly open and accepting of all people, regardless of, quote, age, gender, sexual orientation, gender identity, race, national origin, ethnic or cultural background, appearances, faith traditions, physical and mental ability, economic conditions, marital status, family configurations, or place on the spectrum of conservative, centrist, or progressive, end quote. Who's included? Everybody. That's from our statement. And we try to be as specifically as we can with the understanding that all truly means all people. All who were created, each and every one of us, regardless of any of these parameters that I just expressed to you, all of us are equal in receiving God's grace, being created in God's image. I've said this before. You want to love like God? Then understand the fact that when you look at anybody, a person, for the first time or for the 1,000th time, you know one thing about them for certain, that they were made in God's image. And they are worthy of your love just because of that. Just because of that. Now, Coach Patty has built a program for children and youth that is growing, and I'm going to tell you that she needs all the help she can get. You want to see more children up here, and we've seen lots of children. We're kind of before the school starts slump right now, right? But there have been times where we've had a dozen kids up here. You want to see more? Then call Coach Patty and say, where can I help? Every afternoon, we have youth who gather at 5:45. We like to have a meal, break bread together before they get into their program and fun activities. You want to provide a meal for that? You can do that. Call Coach Patty. Help her out. Give the lady some help so that we can build that program even more. The music program, as I mentioned a couple weeks ago, is doing very well, also growing. Our choir is about 25% larger than it was a year and a half ago. We continue to help people with food and help where we can with other financial needs and the people in our community. I'm now the president of the Baldwin Center board, executive board, and we're trying to do more in the community of Pontiac. We're having a strategy and planning meeting this very next week here at this church to continue our good work, to talk about where we see the future of the Baldwin Center in Pontiac. And Baldwin is just one partner ministry that we have in our area. Our church is blessed to be a blessing to others. And as we follow the star of God's guidance, as we follow the morning star, Jesus the Christ, let me ask each of you, will you be a star? Will you be a star in the constellation called the church? God has put within you the power to do so, for God formed you out of dust. But it's stardust. I know that many feel inadequate, and to that I want to share some wisdom from Nelson Mandela, who now rests from his earthly endeavors and looked really for the good in all people, even his captors. He wrote this, quote, "Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, or fabulous? Actually, who are we not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small doesn't serve the world. There's nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We are born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It is not just in some of us. It is in everyone. And as we let our light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. And we are liberated from our fear, our presence. And as we are liberated from our fear, our presence automatically liberates others." End quote. So in 2025, as a constellation of the church, may we follow the star born in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. And may we follow that morning star in Jesus Christ. In the next couple of months, there's some activities that I want us to be a part of. There's a training event in the Detroit conference on February 22nd. Look at your calendars. I hope before that we'll have a church-wide session. We can get together, have an open forum, talk about where we want to go in 2025. Leadership is already working on some ideas, but we want your input as well. And I'm really looking forward for us to become the church that is a great constellation of God's love and grace and a light unto the paths of all others. For that's the word of God for the people of God today at Waterford Central United Methodist Church, in the name of our Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. Amen.